worked with an older preacher many years ago in Longview, Texas. There were several different things that he was able to share with me, tips, insights, tricks, so to speak, of preparing lessons and getting things together. And one of the things that I remember him telling me was that, and I don't remember the exact phrase, but the gist was to be smart about your studies. And there's no harm whatsoever in using what you're studying for a Bible class to present lessons from. And I mention that because I want to start by thinking through some things very briefly of what we've talked about in our study in the in our Sunday morning Bible class on the letter to the Philippians, where in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, a familiar passage, I'm sure, to all of us. The Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." As we just think about that verse, very clearly, Paul had set some goals. Paul had a goal set. He was focused on that goal. That goal was the prize of the upward call of God. I think one way to look at that upward call that the Apostle Paul has set in mind on was the eternal home in heaven, living with God for all eternity. But when I think about what Paul is saying to the Philippian brethren, as I go through the context and I recall the things that we've been studying on Sunday mornings, what if we consider this from the idea of the call of being something about how we live our lives here on this earth? If that is the case, one thing is for certain, there is a value in what the Apostle Paul says, "I forget the things that are behind, the things that are in the past." There is a moving forward. It's not dwelling on things in the past. He's reaching forward. He's striving for progress. And that goal, if we go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, or Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, we know that it's our life, our conversation, our conduct that is should be a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's with that goal in mind that I want to consider some things from the angle of us working together. And I say working together. As I thought about the phrase and that I'm going to put up here, working with and for the church, I recognize, and even Brother Thigpen just this very night in his prayer prayed for Tanya and I. I'm very thankful for that. I'm humbled by that. But his terminology, his phrase was, "Jeff, working with this church." And I don't deny that fact. I do. But so do everyone in this audience. And so there's some things that I think it would be good to us to look at. Things that we're going to look at from both the individual standpoint as well as working together collectively. Now, I want to show you another passage of Scripture. It's written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written about the same time as when he wrote the book to the letter to the Philippians, and it is, in fact, very applicable to us today. Turn over to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 1. I will read through verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave to some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There's a lot to unpack in this passage of Scripture. Many things that we could talk about over the course of several weeks. Just looking at verses 4, 5, 6, looking at the oneness, the unity that exists there. Thinking about the various encouragements that are made, very similar to what we've seen in the letter to the Philippians, of keeping the unity in the Spirit, of lowliness, of gentleness, of long-suffering, of bearing with one another. These are all timely messages, and these we would do well to meditate upon. But I want to focus our attention on verse 16. From whom the whole body, and when we read body there, we can put within our minds our physical body. I think that's the metaphor, that's the illustration that the Apostle Paul is using. He had just said in verse 15 that into all things into him who is the head, Christ. So think physical body as we read through this. And from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It took me a couple of times to get through some English classes in college. But there are some things that I picked up and learned, and some of those are these various clauses that are used and the qualifying phrases that we find within this verse. And it's interesting as we think about what's the basic idea of this verse. Well, if we strip out the qualifying verses, what it tells us is the whole body causes growth of the body. In other words, all the members of the body, the church, must work together if the church is going to grow. And so a natural conclusion then is if the church is going to grow, then there has to be an increase made from, if the body's going to increase, then the members must be working. Remember, the body, the whole body causes growth of the body. And the whole body, and we're going to see how detailed that is and how inclusive that is of everyone. If the body is to increase, the members must work. Notice some of those qualifying phrases that he has, that the Apostle Paul uses, this idea of effective working. Effective working by which every part, according to the energy in the measure of each one part, in proportion to its power, every part labors to produce. Every part is doing what it can do in the most effective way. No one is idle. No one is useless. using every bit of it. My son, Benjamin, was back at the house yesterday, and had a chance to talk to him about his job. He's going to be working and putting engines together, something or another like that, for Toyota. He studied automotive technology, and one of the things that mechanics are well aware of is that if there's one little thing that's not doing its job, the engine's not going to work. Let's think about it from the physical aspect. In me, it's being able to get around. If there's not, if all of our parts, if one of our parts are not producing what it's supposed to produce, is it effective? None is useless. No one is idle. Everything needs to be working together. Now, he goes on to say that not only is it effective working, but also the idea of in every measure, according to the effective working in the measure that it has. No one is overtaxed. The word uses here, does it share? And verse 16 of the New King James, the King James renders it in the measure, according to the measure. Does it share of their strength? And so there is no member that is so obscure, so feeble, that they might not contribute something. Various things, as I'm reading notes, as I'm thinking through these concepts to present to you, any number of illustrations come to my mind. One of which is pulleys. I'm fascinated by the idea of how little you can pull on a rope if you've got enough pulleys and how much weight you can pick up. But if one of those pulleys is not doing its sharing its load, it's going to be difficult for us to realize. In every measure, does its share? Now, its share may be very small. If we're talking about engines and gears and such, it may be just a small thing. Think about the physical body. It may be small, little toe. It may be our pinky, but does it not? It has a role to play. The members in the body of Christ are the same. And goes on to say every part. The Greek reads each one part in their proper place. There's not one that's out of place. Think of how painful it is when our nerves get twisted or turned or something in our bodies and things get out of place. Or our joints get out of socket. That's not a good feeling. And our bodies become less effective. There is disharmony in that. These are true about the body of Christ. Each member must be working effectively. It must be doing its part, its share. And every last one of us are involved in that. But Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 not only instructs that all must be working, but he shows how that is to be accomplished. If the body is to increase, then the body must be joined together. Fitly joined, fitly framed, bound together. And an engine, it's got nuts and bolts holding everything in its place. It's got some belts and things of that nature that's keeping everything in its spot. Joined closely together is the thought that is behind this phrase that the Apostle Paul used. Notice he goes on to say knit together, compacted. Not just being side by side, but intertwined with one another. Best way I can think of to illustrate this is to think of survival type situations where we need some cordage, is the word that they use. We could strip off one piece of bark and might be able to tie up something, but when we take that one piece of bark and then we strip off something else and we start weaving them together, if we take one little piece of nylon string and weave that together with other pieces, We can have little bitty pieces of rope that hold hundreds, maybe even thousands of pounds, because it's knit together, because it's all intertwined, compacted together. And notice again, every joint supplies. Literally reads, though through every joint of the supply. One translation reads, by the contact of every part with the source of its life. What this is describing is the idea of passing along of substance to other members. Again, my mind races with illustrations of how to think of how to describe this, and immediately comes to my mind the idea of plants and how that things from the leaf get down to the rest of the plant to cause growth in that plant. How it takes from its roots the nutrients and the water and then supplies that to the rest of the plant. It is supplying there. There is a supply chain going on within that plant. Every joint supplies. This idea of join here is anything that binds or fastens or secures. Are there things within the body of Christ that we can think of very easily that helps us understand the joining together that we have? In the many illustrations of the church, the body is one, family is another, household. There's relationships that exist. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. There is that join that puts together. If the body is to increase, the body must be doing things. Because again, verse 16, the whole body causes growth of the body. So let's think about some suggestions. Maybe some recommendations about how that can be accomplished. How is it that we can be fitly framed and compacted together? Well, one suggestion is by interacting with each other. And by interacting, the folks on this side interact with the folks on this side. And the folks that are in the back interacting with the front folks up front. Whether that is through Bible classes, whether that's through phone calls, whether that's through emails, calling each other, talking to each other, engaging with each other. Not just the people you're sitting next to. Not just your physical family. Not just your close friends. I started to say, Tanya and I'm not kin to anybody, but then I realized, no, I am kin to Heather. So I can't just talk to the Nave family. I've got to talk to everybody. And it doesn't matter what social class or where they live. If we're going to work together, if we're going to work for and with the church, there's got to be interaction, talking with one another. Let me give you one simple thing to think about. When we're thinking about and talking about the congregation here, how do you describe it? Is it they or we? When you're talking about Oakland, is it they do this and they do that? Or is it we do this or we do that? When we think about how every joint supplies, Bible classes are perhaps one of the most excellent ways for us to pass along nourishment to each other. We assemble together on Sunday mornings. We assemble on Wednesday nights for the purpose of studying the scriptures. I made it very clear in starting the Bible class on Sundays that I did not want it to be just me lecturing all the time, because I realized there's things that you think about that you can share with others. We can help each other. We can supply each other. Are there other ways? Certainly. Quick text. I have been highly encouraged by the text that I have received from members here. Of just after the Bible class, well, you know, I was sitting thinking about this, and I wanted to share that with you. Is that something that we can do with each other? I think we can. Maybe writing Bible class materials is not your forte, but can you assist with other aspects of getting things together and preparing things? Maybe perhaps the most simple question is to think, do you attend the Bible classes that are scheduled? When we're realizing, when we look at the idea that we're working for and with the church, and we recognize every part plays a part, every joint is supplying, what is our not attending the Bible studies? Does that increase the body? Does that help it grow? Attending regularly for our worship services, volunteering to teach or to help teach a class. Maybe, and I recognize, part of the reason I read all of that I did of Ephesians chapter 4 is because I recognize in that context, the Apostle Paul says, he gave gifts, and various gifts are mentioned, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, I realize there's varying abilities. I had in my notes earlier the idea of thinking about the parable of the talents. The man with the five talents, the man with two talents, and the man with one talent. What I find interesting is that Jesus doesn't say that five-talent man takes three of them and tries to get his return. He uses every part. The one-talent man doesn't even use the one that he has. And when we think about talents, think opportunities or abilities that we have. Are we using them like we should be? When there are other worship services that are planned, whether it be gospel meetings or the singings and such that are going to take place, are we actively involved in sharing that information as a way to help this congregation grow? Then bottom line in all of this is that we do this in love. All of this is out of love. It is in mutual harmony. There's not collisions. There's not a disturbing of other parts. But all the gears are just turning. And the smaller gears with the bigger gears, the legs with the arms, with the eyes, with the heart, with the even down to the small body parts that we might not know what it does, but God designed it and it's got a function. All for the purpose of causing increase in the body. Twice the Apostle Paul expresses the idea of the responsibility of every member acting, every joint supplying, and every working part. Now, hopefully, Lord willing, over the coming time, we can dive into some more specifics, more practical examples of what that means for the young, what that means for the older Christian as a part of the body of Christ. The roles and responsibilities, what that means for the males that are part of the local congregation, what that means for the women of the congregation, what that means for the children, and we can think about that in more detail as time goes on. But I want to make sure that we understand it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us working together, each and every member. So the questions are, are you a working part? Is your gears spinning freely like it needs to? Is it effective? Or maybe there'll be some fine tuning that you might need. Some attention to that body part. And are you creating bonds that supply nourishment to others? It's remarkable to me. And again, I think it... helps us strengthen our faith in God Almighty, to recognize God designed our physical bodies the way He did, such that it can cause its own growth. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. With the church, the body increases the body. It does that when all the parts are working together. There may be those this evening that are not part of the body of Christ. You recognize that the scriptures tell you what you need to do in order to become a part of the body of Christ. You need to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Here's the time and the opportunity that you can make yourself a part of the body of Christ and begin working with and for the church to cause an increase. But there may be those here tonight that realize, I've not been doing my part. I've not been fulfilling my role, whatever that role may be. If there's something that you need to make of a public confession of that, here's the time and the opportunity. If it's something of a private nature, go to God in prayer. Ask Him for assistance. Ask Him for guidance. He wants the body to grow, and He wants those parts to all be working. If there's some means by which we can make your life right with God and assist you in that, we bid you come as together we stand and sing to encourage you.